Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Thin Line Believers here. You might hear a little background noise. I am in my car today, and it is raining. And I also don't have my usual microphone with me today, but that's all right. We're going to get into chapter 7 of Revelation here. And I think it'll be encouraging for us, because we're going to be introduced to a large group of folks here. And these are Jewish folks. And let's get right into it here. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Okay, so at the beginning here we see that these angels are holding back the four winds of the earth. Now that would be a very eerie time. In fact, I remember just a couple months ago when fires really ran through our state here. The smoke made its way throughout the valley. And there was one day in particular, I remember being home, and there was no wind whatsoever. And I could see the tiny ash particles just kind of floating down, not blowing one way or another. And that was very eerie. There was no wind at all. And if you've experienced that, as I'm sure you have, it's a really strange and kind of ominous feeling. And that's going to be throughout the entire world in the times of the tribulation here. Now moving along, as we get into verse 5 here, we're going to see that 12,000 of these, what have been called Jewish Billy Grahams, these evangelists, there's going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Judah. 12 tribes of Israel. And it's pretty obvious who these folks are. These are Israelis. These are Jews. These are of the tribes of Israel. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses. These are not any other group that would claim to be this 144,000. There have been a lot of groups that have tried to make the claim, and I see two problems with that. Number one, it's so very obvious here right in front of me as it lists out these tribes. It's very obvious as to where they come from, and that would be something like the replacement theology, which is heresy. And replacement theology is saying, well, the nation of Israel messed up, so God then gives all the promises. The blessings of Israel are now to the church, and all the cursings of Israel are still on Israel, or still on the Hebrew nation. Well, that doesn't really match up, because if God doesn't have to keep His promises that He made to the Jews, then what's to keep Him from keeping His promises that He's made to the church, to you and me? Well, God is still the God of the Jews. And they will be saved, as we'll see later on in this book of Revelation, Lord willing. But moving along here in verse 5, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." No, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I would think that maybe this is the group of people who have been saved by the words of these 144,000. I think the progression of things here would be appropriate to kind of make that guess, but I can't be dogmatic in that. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And that's chapter 8, the beginning here. So here we see that there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Let's find out why. "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." So this is encouraging to me, because here we're going to see, here we do see the prayers of God's people and the incense that's offered with the prayers. Now, why would that be? Well, I know that myself, my prayers are tainted. I ask for things, and I think, like the word says, I ask amiss sometimes. We wonder why our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes it's because they're not in line with the will of God. And so even though, you know, I come before God with unclean lips and I come before him a sinner, I still pray regardless. And when my prayers are offered up, they're stored up in these bowls, and then incense is offered with them, and they are sweetened. They are sweetened as they're poured out before the Lord. And I think that there's a message there for us to keep praying, continue in steadfast prayer until our prayers just overflow these bowls. And let's move along here. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. Now this may be literal. This may be exactly how it sounds. But it also could represent, as I've heard before, it could represent a nuclear exchange. Because a nuclear exchange could cause the moisture to go up so high up in the atmosphere that it then freezes and comes back down as hail. And of course, there's going to be blood if there's such an explosion, right? The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, this could be any number of things. Could be an asteroid. Could, again, be more of this nuclear exchange. I don't know. But it could absolutely be an asteroid of some type. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Now, this sounds a whole lot like Chernobyl, when there was that mishap, and it caused the waters to become bitter. This could be another effect of a nuclear fallout. It would cause the waters to become bitter and undrinkable, and that would cause a lot of people, a lot of critters to die. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." Now, when they say woe in the Bible, that is not like, you know, woe, you need to stop, or whoa, like, whoa, dude, this is W-O-E. It's almost like a pity upon the earth. And so this eagle, as it's described, flying over the earth, is basically telling the earth, you haven't seen anything yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. And we're going to pause there, because I'm running out of time. But I'd encourage you to continue reading this, because like I said when we started Revelation, this is the only book that comes with a blessing attached to those who hear it and those who read it. And I think the reason that there's this blessing attached is because the devil has tried to keep people from reading it, knowing that there are so many blessings in this word. That as we read the chaos that's going to come upon the earth, you know, there are those who are saved by grace. There are those who are saved by the love of God. There are also those that are saved by knowing the fire and brimstone that's to come upon the earth. There are those who are saved out of the fear of what is to come if you don't choose God, if you don't choose Jesus. And so I think that is part of the blessing of Revelation. Well, I apologize for that previous interruption here. I would edit it out, but I'm just trying to get this pushed out to you folks so you have some new material and some more of Revelation. Next time, we will try to pick it up in chapter 9 at that cliffhanger where we will see the next three, or the last three trumpet judgments, as they're called. But I hope you're being blessed by reading through Revelation. It's probably my favorite book of the Bible to read, and I hope it will be yours too. But keep looking up. I think we're really drawing near to the end. And the reason I wanted to get this out, by the way, regarding the 144,000 and those who are still spreading the gospel even in crazy times, is because there's a lot of people who have fear and anxiety and even anger surrounding these recent elections. And I know that there's a lot of folks who really thought that Trump was going to be reelected, and I don't know. I'm sure there's legal battles and everything else. I'm avoiding social media and news because I think that the main reason that God may allow something like this is to turn our eyes back to Him. There's too many believers, in my opinion, who have been looking to Trump as their savior. And Trump's not our savior. He is not. Our savior is still seated on the throne, and he has an eternal kingdom. Those who come to power in the United States and throughout the world, their power is temporary. And I think we need to readjust our mindset. We need to refocus on who our king actually is. And that has really helped me to be at ease. It's even helped me to be encouraged, because I know who my Savior is, and I know that as Noah was saved from a time of chaos and calamity, as Lot was saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved from the fire, as Elijah was taken up at a crazy time, as Isaiah, when his king of 50-some years, who was a good king, was taken up, when he died, Isaiah was then put into service. And he actually had a glimpse of heaven at that time. You and I can also be encouraged in the same way, that when the chaos comes, when the hard times come here on earth, when the extremely hard times I'm talking about, because you and I are still going to go through hard times. But when the tribulation comes, we'll be taken out of here. Just like all the Old Testament typology. When the worst of it comes, you and I will be taken up. We'll be taken away from it. So I hope you're encouraged in that. God takes His typology very seriously, and so should you and I. All right, God bless. We'll pick it up next time, Lord willing, in chapter 9. And hopefully I'll have some help with that one, so you don't have to listen to my voice alone. All right, take care.